ミュージックビビメイク
です。 Hey folks, welcome back to Music, Movies and Madness. We are doing our movie side of the year 1971. It, as I said before, it's been a little while since we've done a deep dive into a particular year. So we're bringing it back in style this week. Joining me, as usual, is Dave, Glenn and Ian, and I'm Martin. What did you think of the movies for this year, guys?
There's some good stuff in there. I didn't choose any of it, but there's some good stuff. Sure you guys did.
Yeah, I've got something.
Good. There was, yeah, some good movies in 71. I was surprised. Yeah.
But, you know, the one I picked wasn't on any of the lists. And yet it's one of my faves. I think you'll know why.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
But there, actually, the genre that I wanted to explore in the 71 was sort of horror. Scary shit. But I couldn't put myself, get myself to sit through that. Not wet my dax. Or worse. So I gave up on that idea, but terrible with horror.
But is that when, like, what's it called? The Exorcist come out. Ugh, that was creepy as
well. Might have been a little bit later, but like, there was like the end of the Hammer horror films and stuff, right? Would have been the Christian ones and all of those.
Yeah.
Which are kind of more funny and scary, but they're just, they're good, a good watch if there's nothing else on.
Did you just mention
say Dax any? Do people say Dax anymore?
No.
But then he listens to Rod Stewart, so what does he know?
Well, did you just say Peter Cushing, the legendary Peter Cushing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Old Grand Moff Tarkin used to be, he used to be Van Helsing, and Christopher Lee used to be Dracula.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And they've got this whole thing going on. I realize several movies where they were just always kind of.
My money's on Tarkin. I reckon Tarkin would take out Dracula any day.
Yeah, Tarkin be Dooku. Tarkin be Dooku. You're going to be
him. Oh, Dooku. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes, I get it now.
Yes, very good. Very good.
Right. Let's get on with it then. Okay, Glenn, do you want to kick us off then with the movies?
Sure. I've actually, I must admit, I've cheated a little bit. Completely cheated. I've actually picked a documentary about 1971. It's on Apple TV. It's called 1971, the year that music changed everything. Big claim. However, big claim. However, I watched this last year and was out, and I came out in 2021. It's 8 parts long, and it's an absolutely brilliant, brilliant documentary that snapshots everything that was happening in that year. It's very American, British sort of centric, so it doesn't really cover pretty much the rest of the world. There's a little bit of a mention, but not much. But, a fascinating, absolutely fascinating documentary. Over the 8 parts, there's the first bit, what's happening, which is around the dawn of the new decade, and the whole, we talked about protest songs, Marvin Gaye and John Lennon particularly were highlighted in that one. John Lennon had moved to New York and become an activist, and it talked through the Attica massacre that the feds basically did on the prison there, which was pretty hard to watch, I'll be honest. Then we had the end of the Acid Dream, which was Sly Stone, Rolling Stones, Jim Morrison retreating from the world because of the drugs that they were taking at the time. Things that new sounds starting to creep in, the rise of glam and Alice Cooper coming to the fore, which was really interesting. And the singer-songwriters that started to emerge. And the first, I'm going to play a track by one of these singer-songwriters who I rate. She'd been sort of away from the music scene, and this is her coming to the fore, really. And this album was an incredibly monster hit. And let's play a little bit of this.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we've just stopped trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it. Something inside has died, and I can't hide, and I just can't fake it. Oh, no, no.
Absolutely brilliant record, Tapestry by Carole King. And it follows a lot of women artists that were coming through around that time, Joni Mitchell particularly. But then we also had Elton John coming through with Tumbleweed Connection. Martin talked about that last time and was surprised that I didn't pick that. But, yeah, brilliant.
She had heaps, didn't she, Carole King, that year?
Yeah, she's Tapestry.
So many tracks out there.
And
one
it's
of those greatest hits albums, basically, in one album, you know.
Yeah. We had Poets, and remember how I played that song, Whitey on the Moon? That's Gil Scott-Heron. Again, that sort of revolution, Mark Curtis Mayfield, so that funky stuff coming through. And The Exile on Main Street by the basically drugs, drink, and debauchery. However, through that process of being that drugged up, that drunk, and that sexed up, they still all managed to create some incredible music, which is incredible in itself. So here's a little bit of something that I really like as well, which is Family Affair by Sly Stone and the Family Affair.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
Child grows up to be somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood.
Yeah, I mean, sort of the Stone genius of Sly and the Family Stone. Just, I didn't realize how epic the year was until watching this documentary, and it sort of brought all of the stories of what was going on. And, you know, the world wasn't in a good place, and it seemed to resonate for where we are sort of today. So I found it utterly captivating over the 8 episodes, and I highly, highly recommend it. It's tremendous. And it ends with our wonderful David Bowie coming on TV with Starman. So, yeah, completely blowing everybody in the UK out of the water with this crazy Starman, who sort of, with Ziggy Stardust falling from, I don't know, the heavens. Yeah, utterly brilliant. So it's on Apple TV. Highly recommend. Have any of you guys seen it?
No, I will.
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. Mm.
Awesome. Right, thanks
so
for that.
A bit of a cheat. I'm sorry about that.
No, I think that's allowed. We'll allow that.
Awesome.
One. Yeah. Black Martin,
soft Martin. Soft.
Soft. Yeah, probably. Well, I'm very happy that he went soft on me on that one because it's so good.
That
sounds
see
so
Dax,
bad.
So good.
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it? Oops.
Okay, let's move on. Ian, what have you got for us this week?
Puffing
the giggles.
I had fun also looking at the movies, and there's lots in 71. I had no idea. And was really pleasantly surprised, just like the albums, actually. But I'm a bit predictable, I suppose. And I went with this one here. Yeah, that's the amazing voice of Shirley Bassey singing Diamonds Are Forever, which was the movie that I chose. I didn't have time to watch it, but I've watched all the Bond movies probably several times over. And yeah, it's a classic Bond movie. It's a good one. It features, this one's got Sean Connery as James Bond in this one. And this is his sixth appearance coming back in on Her Majesty's Secret Service. Based on the Ian Fleming novels. This one has a plot with his old enemy, Ernst Stavro Blofeld. And he uses the diamonds to build a space-based laser weapon. And Bond has to battle his enemy for one last time to stop the smuggling and stop his old mate extorting the world with nuclear supremacy. So even that, sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, sold. Sounds brilliant.
Sold.
Sold. I mean, what, you know, I love James Bond, but it's there's lots of things that are wrong with it.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, wouldn't last 2 minutes in a work society right nowadays. Like that one is pretty bad. Yeah, for it.
Yeah, I think we've covered this before, haven't we? On James Bond, with like probably all the naughty things that went on during that time. But I like the villain in it. That's if you can't remember, it's a guy. He's got a scar on his eye, and he's got a cat, and he strokes that cat. You know that dude.
Yes.
And it's a good. I love Bond movies. They're a little bit like my album choice, Led Zeppelin. They kind of give me some form of comfort. You know, when I watch a Bond movie, I feel kind of comforted and in a safe place. A bit like Led Zeppelin. It's just something familiar. But I mean, I wouldn't rush out and watch it. Doesn't quite sound as good as a documentary. But I mean, if you want to watch a bit of Bond, Diamonds Are Forever is not a bad movie.
Awesome. Yeah, and special mention to Sean Connery's wig in that one as well. It's quite a good toupee that he had going on there.
It's you reckon?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was like Blofeld's last cap that he's wearing.
It's got on his head.
It's pretty awesome comb over that's going on there.
I just can't remember what car he was driving in it. Do you remember? I don't think it was a DB3. I can't remember.
I don't think so in that one. I got a funny feeling it's like a muscle car or something. I don't remember. I can't really think of any of the stunts in that one. I do remember, like, there's two of the Bond girls and a Bambi and Thumper. That's what I said. Yeah.
And that's my point, exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Enough said. Enough said. Yeah.
Have you met any Thumpers in your time, Martin?
no. Bambi always made me cry. Anyway, let's move out of that one very quickly.
Thumper will make you cry for different reasons.
not if he's going soft on us.
Well,
move on.
That's Glenn, I think it was. Not us.
Oh, dear, dear. Anyway, yeah, all right. So I'm going to go with my choice, and I've got a special guest coming on for this because he's not been on for a while. So
what the bloody hell's all this? Get you know what the bloody time is? It's 2 o'clock in the bloody morning.
I know.
Well? Listen, I'm not in the mood for playing silly buggers.
I made a mistake.
What?
I made a mistake.
What about?
Never mind. See you.
Listen, I don't like it when some tough nut comes pushing his way in and out of my house in the middle of the night. Bloody well tell me who sent you.
You're a big man, but you're in bad shape. With me, it's a full-time job. Now behave yourself.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone know that one?
Get Carter.
It's Get back. Carter.
Michael Caine, he's back. What a movie.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. It's a pretty grim movie, to be honest. There's not much to smile about it. It's basically the story is based around the idea. He's a hitman, and he's born in Newcastle, but he's lived in London for years and has been in the employment of an organised crime boss, or a pair of organised crime bosses. But he's actually sleeping with one of the boss's girlfriends, and plans to escape with her to South America. But before he does that, he has to go back to Newcastle and attend the funeral of his brother Frank, who died in a drink driving accident. His bosses want him not to stir up any trouble, because they're friendly with the Newcastle mob, but, you know, he goes and investigates for himself, basically, and does the bloody damage. It's a good one. Yeah, the thing that makes this film for me is actually the score. It's got an amazing soundtrack by a guy called Roy Budd, and it's kind of like a jazz, kind of groovy, funky, slinky kind of score. I'm going to play a little bit of the main theme. So it's an interesting film. It didn't actually do that great on its release. It did okay, but the critics slammed it, especially in the UK, and mainly on the grounds that they just thought that he just seemed to have a complete lack of remorse for any of his beatings that he kind of dishes out throughout the movie. But in America, they lapped it up. They loved it. It went out really well in the States. It's kind of like one of those films that's become a bit of a cult movie over the years. And, you know, Tarantino and the likes of like Guy Ritchie have stated it's a big influence on them. And it's kind of done the rounds now on, obviously, on like home videos and stuff. And it's become, a bit of a cult movie. It's well worth a watch. Definitely don't watch the remake with Stallone. That's an appallingly bad movie. Michael Caine's just infinitely watchable, really. You can just watch him do anything.
He's such a badass in a day.
He is. He's a really nasty piece of work in it, actually.
He's brilliant. He's so good.
It's funny, like, that music, I reckon they really capture the 70s, you know? It just sounds like the 70s. I don't know why that is, but
yeah,
it's right there, eh?
Definitely, yeah. It's that slinky urban thing, right? It's that urban 70s thing, street talking, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. It's a film I've seen a few times, And I enjoy it every time. I do kind of catch it. And it's well worth a look. If you haven't seen it, Get Carter. There
you go. I'm so stoked that you chose it. That's so cool.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Dave, what's your one for us?
You're on mute, David.
Okay, so like I said before,
I went for something that was outside of the mainstream, but is a film that I've watched dozens of times, certainly when I was younger. You might pick it from the soundtrack, but you'll certainly pick it from the sound effects.
Just keep away. It's not your fight.
Oh yeah. The overdub voice probably gave it away.
I love Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong Phooey, yeah. So this is the start of Hong Kong Phooey. I've gone for The Big Boss by with starring Bruce Lee by Golden Harvest Films. Bruce Lee's first feature film, and the one that, because he's American, we all know Bruce Lee's American, right? Born in America, went back to Hong Kong when he was very little, then went back to the States when he was a late teen, and couldn't break into the film scene because of his ethnicity, and so a number of famous actors like Steve McQueen, Guy Coburn, they said to him, look, you know, you got to go back to Hong Kong, make some of those Hong Kong films and then get famous over there and then come back. You know, you're pushing the proverbial hill, battling the establishment if you stick around here. So he did that. He went back to Hong Kong, and Golden Harvest, which was a very small fledgling little film company out of Hong Kong owned by Raymond Chow, was in the hood, and they teamed up, went over to Thailand to shoot this film. Very low budget, but it just absolutely rocketed both Golden Harvest and Bruce Lee into stardom in Hong Kong. And if you talk to any of the oldies that sort of were around, you know, like my father in that Asia that time when early 70s when Bruce Lee films came out, it was just phenomenal. The queues that went around the cinema and people, he was a hero. He was something for them to celebrate. And then, of course, we went back to the States after that, did a few films in Hong Kong, went back to the States and did Enter the Dragon and Game of Death. Enter the Dragon in particular did very well, Warner Brothers collaboration. So Big Boss is where it all started. The story... Have you guys seen this?
A long time ago, yeah.
Years ago, yeah.
Probably at my house.
It's pretty funny. I probably watched it at your place when I was a teenager.
It is funny, but it's also pretty violent. It got censored heavily for its violence because there's a lot of stabbings and stuff. Just a lot of stabbings in general. It's about Bruce is a young man who moves to Thailand to work in an ice factory with his cousins. He discovers that the factory is a front for drug smuggling, but he's made a vow not to use violence, swore an oath, but he's drawn into conflict after his cousins mysteriously disappear, and he just kicks ass from that point on, and takes on the big boss at the end, which is an iconic fight on the lawn outside this sort of pavilion place, and the brilliant watching and just good kung fu-y all around. So that was my pick, and that's where it all started from. One of those films that just G's you up, gets you in the mood
for what?
Oh, for many things, man.
Kicking some ass, man.
That means a bit genial,
Stuart. It gets me in the mood for some Rob Stewart. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Well, yeah, there we go, guys. Thank you for all your wonderful contributions to that. That was a fun one. And listeners, get on to our Facebook page and let us know your faves from 71. And hopefully we'll do another deep dive into a year pretty soon as well. We'll come back and do some more of these, I think. That's it from us. Thank you very much for listening, and We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks. See ya.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we just stopped trying.